Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
To go over with us our mission and our vision. And remind us of who God's called us to be and what God's called us to be, what Redemption Life Church is, what the vision is, where we're going. And so we're going to be looking at that over the next couple of months. Let's just, now we're starting a brand new thing, actually. If you've got a smartphone, take out your smartphone. Google, Droid phone, or iPhone. Everybody take it. Everybody's going to do this together. Now, I've texted you guys this. I put it on Facebook and social media. So, and if you're not there, that's fine. If you don't have a smartphone, that's cool, but this is available to you. This is going to be available from here until kingdom come, as far as I know. So hopefully you have downloaded the Bible app from your smartphone. If you haven't done that so far, do that. I'll let you do that. One-time deal right now this morning. Download an app while I'm preaching. That's cool. All right. Now, if you have that already open up your Bible app if you got it, the Bible app. And somewhere, if you have an iPhone, it's going to say More. It's going to have a More tab in your bottom right-hand corner. If you have a Droid phone, I can't help you. So somewhere, look for something. But if it's an iPhone, click on More, and then you'll see a little list of things come up. It'll say Events, okay? If you're on a Droid phone, find either something that either says Events or Live. If it says Live and not Events, you'll actually need to update your app to the most recent version. Look for Events. Have you found if you got Events, raise your hand. If you got it, you found it. If you're having trouble, look at somebody next to you. If you don't care, just ignore me. That's fine. But this is really cool. Okay. So if you click on Events, when you click on Events on your iPhone, it will ask you first off to allow location services. If you click allow, this is easier. If you don't want to do that, that's cool. Just search Redemption Life Church. Now we're going somewhere. All right, when you search Redemption Life Church, you'll see Redemption Life Church come up in an event, right? If you click on that event, what's going to happen is you'll be able to follow along with the sermon notes as we preach with all the scriptures that we're looking at every morning, every week, right there. And you can take notes right there on your phone. You can save those for later. You can go back and look at them later. You can look at those scriptures later on through the week. But that's all right there. So that's Events. So if you're going to download that later, look at the Bible app in your app store, Droid, Google app store, the Apple app store. It's fine. It'll all work. It's all completely free. So I want to make that available to you and let you know we're going to be using that for whatever you want to use it for to help follow along. Amen. Now let's get in. So all right, has everybody figured that out? If you haven't figured that out yet, we'll figure it out later. But that's there. So Events in your Bible app, and you can follow right along with us. Take notes, and trust me. When I preach, you want to take notes, okay? I was kind of kidding. All right, let's read Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. We better get to the word. Some are like, please help him get to the word, Jesus. All right, we're getting there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, listen to this. It says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." Verse 14, "in whom we have redemption." Everyone say redemption. "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Everyone say redemption. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you so much. We ask you right now to bless this time in the Word. I pray, God, that as we look at your Word and look at what your Word is saying to us this morning, what your Word is saying to us both individually and as a community of faith, Father God, as a church, as the body of Christ, I pray, Father, that you will speak to each and every one of us, God, both corporately and individually. And Lord, I pray that we would go more than just seeing some ideas, more than just seeing some good stories, more than just hearing some tips for a better life. Lord, I pray as we look at your Word, we would truly encounter you, Jesus, because you are the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And I thank you that through your Word, you're dwelling with us here this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Do me one more favor. Put your hand on your belly somewhere. Just repeat after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear. So I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Redemption. In whom we have the forgiveness of sins. Redemption. Colossians 1:14. Does anybody else think it's strange that as a parent, like when you have a child, you get to name that child? Have you ever thought about how weird that is, that you have the authority to literally shape an entire child's life with the name that you pick for them. You know what I mean? And what's weird is, like, you pick a name, like, really, shouldn't a kid get to, I mean, I guess technically, legally, a person can change their name if they want to, although it's kind of rare, it doesn't happen very often. But really, I think, like, you should be able to get, like, you get your license at 16, and maybe, like, at 17, you can pick your name. You get to decide. Like, you should be able to pick your own name. I mean, isn't that weird? Does anybody else, like, think that's strange? Like, it's like a weird deal that we get to decide. Like I had the power to decide all of my kids' names. They're going to be Michaela, Olivia, I didn't have the power. My wife had the power to decide all of my kids' names. And I got to agree and say, yes, that's a good name, right? I had a pretty big hand in our last one, our number four, who will be the last in Jesus' name. Luca, we named him Luca Maximus. And I got to slide Maximus in there as the middle name. And I call him Maximus all the time. And you're welcome to as well. It's awesome. I don't know. I think with a name like Maximus, you're going to be destined to grow up to be just an amazing bad mamma jamma. You know what I mean? Maybe not. Maybe he'll grow up to be the most sensitive, caring, loving person ever. But I hope he has a sword. That's all I'm saying. He does something with a sword. Anyway, Luca Max. So we get the name. Has anybody ever heard any names that are just bizarre? There's just bizarre names. I remember my dad told me, my dad used to be an English teacher a long time ago at Apollo High School in Owensboro, Kentucky. And this is a true story. You told me, I remember vividly at some point hearing you say that you had a girl in your class named Placenta. Is that right? Placenta. Now, I can't imagine how that name came to be. And if you're younger, if you don't know what a placenta is, just ask your mom or dad later, kids. It's going to be awesome conversation for later at the dinner. At the dinner table is a great time to bring it up. All right. The only thing I can imagine that happened is that maybe they were confused. Maybe they thought the doctor named the baby and they were looking down at everything and they said, "What's that?" And the doctor said, "That's the placenta." And they said, "Okay." And they just called it placenta. But they were confused about what they were. I don't know. And so this is the weirdest name I've ever heard. I heard of a guy, he was working with a friend, and his friend had a baby. He said, "What's your baby's name?" And he said, "We named our baby Obesity." Obesity. Now, that's pretty bad, right? And we were like, Obesity? First of all, it's obesity. It's not obesity. No, obesity. He said, "Well, how you spell that?" He said, "We spell it like this, ABCD, Obesity." Now, that's a true story. Obesity. ABCD. Now, when you name your kid ABCD, I hate to tell you, you are really making that kid struggle with its future. You know what I'm saying? Obesity. We get to name our kids. What does any of that have to do with redemption? This is what it has to do with redemption. That is the name of this church. In case you did not know, Red Life is short for Redemption Life. And I have heard Red Life be called everything from red. One kid, because of the shirt, remember the design, it has the cross in the middle. This kid said, "What's red tile?" Because the cross looked like a T, and he couldn't. I was like, "Red tile? What are you talking about?" He said, "What's in your shirt? Red tile? Is that like a tile, a flooring company?" I was like, "No, it's Red Life, you idiot. What's the matter with you?" And so, Redemption Life Church, and that's the name of our church. Before we dig into our vision and mission, I think it's really important for us to understand our name, because I really do believe that what we call ourselves should be indicative of who we are. Amen? In fact, in the Old Testament, this was a really powerful thing. When a father named his son, it was a very powerful situation. In fact, you've all heard probably the story of Jacob and his twin brother Esau. And Jacob in the Hebrew meant liar and deceiver. And they named him liar and deceiver. Heel grabber was the literal translation. Somebody who trips somebody up. And Jacob grew up to be very manipulative, very, very deceitful, very much a schemer. And then I think later on in that, in Jacob's life, Jacob's final son was born to his wife, and his name was Benjamin. But the Bible says that his wife, she died in childbirth, and that with her last breath, as she was bringing the child forth from her womb, the Bible says she cried out and named the boy Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. Because she was in pain and dying. But the Bible says right after that, when they gave the boy to Jacob, the father, whose name was liar and deceiver, changed his name from Benoni, son of my sorrow, to Benjamin, son of my right hand. Because I believe Jacob said, I'm not going to let my son go through with a lousy name what I went through in my life. This is not going to be the son of my sorrow. This is going to be the son of my right hand. Amen. And so a name is a very powerful thing. And I believe that our name is really indicative of the spirit and the culture and the vision and the anointing and the calling that God has placed upon our house and upon this place specifically to be a place of redemption. Everyone say redemption. So what is redemption? We need to understand what that means. Redemption is simply this. Redemption simply means to buy back, to purchase again, or to buy by way of ransom. Redemption, to redeem something. If you have a coupon from the grocery store, you have a piece of paper that says you're entitled to a certain discount, but the discount isn't applied until you go and redeem the coupon. Correct? If you purchase tickets maybe for a concert, like at a will call window or something, or somebody gets them for you, you may have tickets waiting on you, but until you go and redeem them, you don't have them. Amen? And so redemption simply means to buy back, to purchase by way of ransom. And what we have to understand about redemption is every single one, that is exactly what Jesus has done for us on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, shed his blood, gave up his life for you and me, when he shed his blood, that was the payment for our ransom. Every single person on the face of the earth that's ever born, that ever breathes a breath, is locked up by way of sin and condemnation. We are all born sinners, the Bible says. Every single one of us has sinned. The Bible says that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? That's you, that's me. That's every single person born are born under the penalty of sin. And the penalty, the payment for sin, is death. That's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen? So what Jesus did, Jesus said, I will pay the penalty that they owe and I will ransom them back. I will redeem them back from sin to God, to God's plan. Amen? So when we give our lives to Christ, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we have become redeemed. Okay? Now, that can be a religious word, but we've got to understand what that means and what that's about. Now, here's what redemption does. And this is what it means for us as far as our church culture goes and what God's called us to do. Listen, redemption is probably the most powerful force in the universe because of this. Redemption places value on the object being redeemed. Amen? When I'm willing to pay a price for something and redeem that, guess what? I'm saying what it's worth. Who collected baseball cards back in the day? Anybody collect baseball cards? Anybody collect baseball cards with the idea that you were going to collect the one baseball card that was going to be worth, $100,000 or $1 million? You were going to get that Babe Ruth rookie card or that Mickey Mantle card. I was into comic books, too, for a long time. I used to try to look for that Superman Action Comics, I think number 76, the first appearance of Superman or Superman number one or Spot, all those big things. You thought, man, this comic book's going to be... And how many ever had those baseball card value books that you'd look through and you could find the value of a baseball card? Well, here's the reality. This is what my mom and dad used to always tell me, or somebody always told me, listen, something's only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. So it doesn't matter what the book says it's worth. If nobody's willing to actually shell out the cash for that, it ain't worth that. Amen? And so I place value on something by what I'm willing to pay. Now, Jesus has placed value on you and me and on humanity by what he was willing to pay to redeem us back to himself. And what was he willing to pay? The ultimate price, his life, and shed his blood. Think about this. Jesus said, you are so valuable. Mankind, humanity, every single boy, girl, man, woman, and child ever born on the face of this earth is so valuable to me that I will pay and shed my blood and give my very life so that they can be redeemed from sin and enter into the blessings of God. Amen? That's what Jesus said about you. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say you're valuable. Turn to your neighbor and say you have value. Doesn't that feel good to hear that? You know, we live in a world that is so often, we either by way of our own mental problems, by way of our own terrible thinking or by way of the way life has beaten us down or the words that we've heard spoken over us, we often don't realize our worth and our value. Because we think our value is maybe how much money we have on our bank account. Or I think my value is reflected in how much other people like me or whether or not I'm getting the affection that I want or the relationship that I want from someone else that I think is valuable, and I want them to think I'm valuable because I think they're so valuable. Or we get our value by our position at work, or we get our value by whether or not we have a clean house. We get our value by whether or not our kids are all nice, neat children with straight combed hair and non-wrinkled clothes and not junk all over. You know, we get our value from, and listen, we got to get our value from what Jesus has done for us, folks. Amen? That's where real value comes from. And Jesus says, you're so valuable, I'm willing to pay the ultimate price for you to redeem you from where you are. Amen? And that is applied to every single person. Now, if Jesus thinks that people are valuable, guess what? As Redemption Life Church, we must also value people. Amen? So what our name says at Redemption Life Church, what it says, Red Life, being Redemption Life, it means this. It means we see value in every single person that we come in contact with. Every single person that walks through the doors, every single person that you work with, every single person that you're buying groceries next to, every single person that comes to an outreach event, every single person that may come to Hope Over Heroin in a few weeks, every single person that you're believing God to be touched by the Lord and to give their lives, guess what? We see value in them because Jesus sees value in them. How do you know Jesus sees value in them? Because he died for them. Amen? Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're valuable. We see value in people. Jesus' death on the cross lets us know just how much he values people. Therefore, we value people. And we are a group of the redeemed, simply pointing to the Redeemer. That's what Redemption Life Church means. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, we're redeemed. Now, when I begin to understand redemption, when I begin to understand that I was lost in sin, that I was completely bound in sin, yet Jesus paid his price for me. He took my place and paid that price. Guess what? Redemption has the power to change everything about your life. Amen? Redemption has the ability and the power of redemption, of being redeemed in Jesus' blood, has the power to literally change everything about you. In fact, let's go back to our scripture, Colossians chapter 1. Listen to this, verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. You, before Jesus, before you experience redemption, you are living in a kingdom of darkness. You may not realize it. You may not know it. You may completely disagree with me. That's okay. But guess what? Outside of Christ, you are living in darkness. But the Bible says here that Jesus, through redemption and the forgiveness of our sins, brings us out of darkness and into a brand new kingdom of his glorious light. That changes everything. Redemption changes everything. Redemption looks at someone. Redemption looks at an addict that can't get free and says there's value and potential there in Christ when Christ redeems you. Amen? Redemption looks at someone that's been abused and broken and forgotten about and left to the side. Redemption looks at them and says there's value there because Jesus can transform your situation and heal your broken heart. Amen? Redemption looks at the person that's lied about you and talked smack about you and run their mouth about you and caused problems for you. Redemption looks at even them and says, there's value there because just like Jesus died for me, he also died for them. Just like redemption is available for me, it's available for them. Amen? Redemption changes everything. Redemption changes the way I talk. Because when I've experienced redemption, I no longer have to just refer to myself as some broke down, busted, disgusted, no good, dirty, rotten scoundrel. I can begin to call myself the redeemed of the Lord. I can begin to call myself saved, changed, different, redeemed. It changes everything. Redemption will begin to change your worship when you begin to understand redemption, because when you begin to understand redemption, it will change your worship from just singing songs on a screen and following along with the music to all of a sudden getting caught up and understanding that, man, you are singing to the one who gave his life for you. Changes everything. Redemption changes my thoughts. Redemption changes my choices. Amen? Redemption changes the choices I make, because I realize that I'm no longer living for myself, but because I've been redeemed, I belong to Jesus. He has bought me. He has purchased me. And so my choices need to reflect my ownership in Christ. Amen? Redemption changes everything. And so listen to me close. Because redemption is not an event, and listen, redemption is not just a single, solitary, one-time event, and redemption is not just a place we go. Redemption is a life that we live. I live a life of redemption. Amen? Redemption life isn't just something I come to on Sunday morning. It's a cool place to go, and the preacher's really sweet, and he's really awesome, and the music is great, and there's a bunch of great people that'll smile at me and love me and make me feel good about myself. No. That's not redemption life. Redemption life is living a redeemed life that gives glory and honor to Jesus Christ and recognize that I don't belong to myself. I belong to Him. Amen? So redemption, listen, it's not just a place we go or a cool name for a church. It is a life that we live. And our goal, our purpose, what we are here to do is to see each and every person that God allows us to live and experience the redeemed life. Amen? Your neighbors need to experience the redeemed life. Your family members need to experience the redeemed life. Amen, somebody? Your coworkers need to experience the redeemed life. People that have mistreated you and done you bad and done you wrong need to experience the redeemed life. Amen? We want you to experience and know and live a life of redemption. Now, that's what's in our name. That's what's in our DNA. So there's something inside of us, something inside of me, something inside of, and that needs to be inside of every single one of us as a community of faith, and hopefully even into our individual lives and our families where we go, that looks at every single person as a potential for redemption. Amen? Every single person has potential for redemption. Now, I know that can be very difficult. Easy to say, easy to shake your head to and say amen. Difficult sometimes to live. And it can be even more difficult, I believe, in the setting that God has placed us in a small town, where many of you have grown up with many of the people around you, and you have history, years and years of history with people. Some of you graduated from high school with people. In fact, listen, this happened a couple of years ago at a ladies' event. This lady came to one of the first, I think maybe the first ladies' event that my mom organized when we were at our other building, and a girl came down for prayer and said, my mom was someone she was praying for, and said, what can I pray with you about? And the girl just kind of started going on and said, when I heard that your son was starting this church, I promised I would never come to this church. Because, and it was Brian Hammond. He's had a major, no, it was good. No, this girl said, I promised I would never come to this church because your son used to make fun of me and pick on me in high school. I don't remember that, and I don't know if that's true or not. Very well could be. Okay? Okay? So guess what? She came to the event. I don't think she's ever come to church. And unfortunately, but why? Because we have history, and it can sometimes be difficult, listen, to look past what, listen, it can be difficult, catch this, you got to hear this. It can be difficult to look past what I know about someone and see what God may know about them. And what I've got to understand is that what I may know, I may know something, but God sees a completely different potential and future for their life. Amen? And God may want to use me what it may require is me going, despite what I know about you, I'm going to choose to know what Jesus has said about you, and that is that he has valued you and sees potential in you and loves you and has a plan for you. That's redemption life. Amen? That's what redemption life is about. Go with me to Habakkuk chapter 2. We're going to spend the rest of our time talking about our vision. Everyone say vision. A name is powerful. A vision is also powerful. And it's really, it's a godly thing. It's something that we must have in our lives is a vision. Amen? Amen? God has designed us to live our lives with vision. Did you know that? The reason why our eyes are two of the most important, most intricate, most unbelievable pieces of machinery that God created with the, inside of our bodies is our eyeballs, because vision is one of the most primary things. Now, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, the prophet says this about vision. It says, "Then the Lord replied, 'Write down the vision and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it.'" Write down the vision and make it plain. He told the prophet, listen, write down plainly what I'm showing you to see, to tell the people to see. And so what we want to do in over the course of the next few weeks and our time today is to make the vision of what God has called Red Life to be the most plain thing that we can possibly do. Amen? So what is our vision? What is a vision anyway? A vision is simply this. A vision is what you want to see accomplished by way of your effort. What do I want to see happen because of what I'm doing? I'm doing A because I want to see B. Does that make sense? That is a vision. So what is our vision? What is God created Red Life Church's vision to be? And this is the great thing. This is the great thing about the big capital C church. How many know that we're not the only church in town? Amen? How many know that we're not the best church in town? I mean, I'm not going to say, I mean, if you want to say that, you can. I don't care. But I don't, listen. Let me not, best is a wrong word. Let me say this. How many know that we're not the only church in town that loves Jesus and is doing a work for God? Let's say it that way. Amen? We're not the only church in the area, in the county, who loves Jesus, wants to see God move, wants to see people saved. We're not. Amen? And so we are responsible for what God's doing here, and we are responsible for what God's told us to do and to be obedient to His voice and the Spirit leading us here. And God may lead us as a church to do something that He may not lead some other church to do. But if they'll follow what God's telling them to do, then and so we are a little church. Every believer that believes Jesus and that has experienced redemption is a part of the big capital C church. Does that make sense? And so within the big capital C church, which includes Catholics, Baptists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Methodists, all people that proclaim Jesus Christ and have accepted Him as Savior, they're all part of the big church, capital C. We're part of the little C church. This is a little C church. And so within the capital big C church, there's room for individual churches to have maybe specific visions that God has placed on their heart to be that maybe other churches aren't going to be. Does that make sense? And here's the deal. I'm not responsible for what any other church, and we're not responsible to make sure any church is doing what we're just responsible to do what God's put in our heart to do. Amen? So here's our vision, very simply. Our vision is to be a place of freedom and encouragement. Now, you've heard that, hopefully, if you've been here any time at all, you've heard that 100,000 times. And if you're getting sick of hearing it, then that means I'm doing my job and you've heard it enough. Because honestly, a vision hasn't been talked about enough until you're just about ready to throw up the next time you hear it. So if you're about ready to just gag yourself the next time you hear me say a place of freedom and encouragement, I'm doing my job. Pat me, say amen. Good job, preacher. Amen. And so we are to be a place, but I want to add this little tag to it from here on out. We want to be a place of freedom and encouragement for anyone from anywhere. Amen. We want to be a place of freedom and encouragement for anyone from anywhere. Red, yellow, black, white, from the country to the city to all the other places in between. We want to be a place of freedom and encouragement for anyone from anywhere. Amen? Place of freedom and encouragement. That's what we want to see this place become. A place of freedom and encouragement. Now, let me talk about freedom and encouragement for just a moment. Listen to me close. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says this. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, I want you to be very careful to understand that when I say a place of freedom and encouragement, that doesn't just mean a freedom in the sense of, well, we can just do whatever we want to do. Amen? Well, I'm just free to live however I want to live, do whatever I want to do, be whatever I want to be. Man, I'm free. Let me tell you something. That is the enemy's manipulation and twist of freedom. But the ability to do whatever you want to do is not real freedom. It's bondage. Amen? True freedom exists within parameters that God has laid out in His Word. Amen? If I had a fish if you take a fish, listen, a fish is only as free as the water it's in. Right? And I can look at a fish even in the lake and think, you know what? As big as the Brookville Lake is, 19 miles long, however many feet, as big as it is, I don't think it's fair for that fish's life to be completely isolated to that one little 19-mile square piece of lake. I think we ought to set that fish free. Right? And some of you may say, yeah, let's set him free. Woo, free the fish. And we have picket signs and poster board and fish lives matter. We know we're free the fish, and we're getting excited, right? Right? And so we go, we take that bluegill, that crappie, that bass, whatever you want to imagine it to be, that big 10-foot catfish that we know is lurking around somewhere or whatever. We take that fish and we pull it out of the lake and throw it on the land and say, be free, little fishy. And what's going to happen? That fish is going to start to suffocate. It's going to flop around. I'll do my best fish flopping impersonation, right? It's going to flop. I just like that. It's pretty good. That's why we don't videotape these. The fish is going to flop around. And listen, the fish is free. It can go wherever it wants. It can do whatever it wants. But the problem is, it can only really experience freedom and life within the parameters of the water. Amen? And it's just like that in our walk with God. We can only truly experience freedom within the God, within the boundaries of what God has declared our lives should look like. Amen? And anything else may look like freedom, but in reality, it's bondage and we're dying. Amen? So here's what you understand. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Listen to me close. Listen to this. Get this. True freedom only exists within the presence of God. Amen? True freedom only exists within the presence of the Lord. I will never encounter true freedom until I encounter Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so, as a place of freedom and encouragement, listen. Now, as a place of freedom and encouragement, we want to give you the freedom to encounter God. Listen to me close. We want to give you the freedom to encounter God where you are. Number one. Every one of us coming here from different backgrounds, in different places and walks in our walk with God, from the person who's never even really begun a relationship with Jesus to the person who has been following Jesus for years and years and years and talking with the Lord and walking for the Lord and living for God is just almost second nature to you at this point in your life. That's great. Listen, wherever you are, we want to give you the freedom to go to take another step and to encounter God where you are. Amen? That means we don't want to pressure people to make you think, well, you've got to get to this certain level of spirituality before you'll, you know, accept it. Amen? But at the same time, even though we want to give you the freedom to encounter God where you are and on your level, listen, we want to encourage you to encounter God. Amen? So a place of freedom and encouragement is a place, listen to me, we want to become a place that is encouraging you to engage the presence of the Lord and experience true freedom, the true freedom that only exists in Christ. Amen? So I have to tell you, if you're satisfied to just stay where you are, listen, nobody's going to like come to you and go, hey man, it's time for you to get it together, man. You're jacking around, let's get it together. Nobody's going to do that. But listen, I'm going to tell you, my job as the shepherd and my job as the pastor is to hopefully encourage you, push you, and sometimes lead you if I have to pull you, and to sometimes take you to a place that you didn't even really know that you wanted to go until you got there. Amen? And so if you are bound and determined, listen, to just stay where you are, I've got to tell you something, God's not going to leave you alone. Okay? And at some point, as the Holy Spirit moves, because we're going to let God's presence reign, and we're going to move in God's Spirit and all that, at some point when you get around the presence of God and you get around other people that are going after God, listen, if you are determined to stay where you are and to not move forward, something's probably going to happen. You're probably going to, at one point or another, find some excuse to say, psh, I'm out. And we can justify it and use all kinds of words that seem sensical, but the reality was this, is that the Holy Spirit was moving on your heart and you just didn't want to take another step forward. Amen? And you might say, well, I just don't like the preacher anymore. Well, the worship's just not the same. Well, I didn't really like it when they prayed for that person and it got a little weird. They prayed. Somebody asked me to pray with them and I got uncomfortable. And blah, blah, blah. Excuses. Amen? Y'all are quiet. This one, I don't know. Is this too much? I don't. Listen, so you understand what I'm saying? We want to encourage you to experience true freedom in Jesus Christ. And that can only come as you encounter the Spirit of the Lord in a real and powerful way. Amen? Now listen, here's the other freedom part. Your encounter with God is completely allowed to look completely different than your encounter with God. And that's the freedom that we have as believers. Amen? So Brian, your encounter with God may have you dancing and shouting and jumping and hooping and hollering and getting excited. You may run around the building. I don't know. They do that in some church. I haven't seen that here yet. But if the Spirit of the Lord moves you, run, baby, run. But be respectful. Don't run over nobody. Amen. Make sure there's a clear path. Okay? And Eric, your encounter with God may be more reserved, more quiet, more to yourself. You may not ever shout amen. You may not ever raise your hands real high. You may not ever jump around. That's cool. Just as long as you're encountering God. Amen? Amen? Listen, we're a Spirit-filled church. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit, the moving of the Spirit. We believe in speaking in tongues and prophecy and laying on of hands and all of that stuff. But let me tell you something. You may encounter speaking in tongues and you may not. That's okay, just as long as you're encountering God. Amen? Amen? Listen to me. My job is not to make you speak in tongues. My job is to get you to a place where you encounter the Holy Spirit and then let the Holy Spirit do whatever He wants to do. Amen? So someone may fall on the floor. Someone may go to their knees. Someone may stand up. Someone may go to the back. Someone may lay down. Just encounter God. We're not here to tell you how to do it. We just want you to do it. Amen? And here, listen. We want to encourage you to do it and to take another step. And sometimes taking that next step can be uncomfortable. And sometimes seeing other people take their next steps that I'm not familiar with or that I don't really know about, that may make me uncomfortable. But listen, I gotta understand. If I want to be close. If I want the freedom to not engage, I've got to give someone else the freedom to engage. If I want the freedom to be reserved and to be quiet and to be laid back, that's cool, but I got to give somebody else the freedom to experience and engage the Holy Spirit the way the Lord's moving on their heart. Because it's unfair for me to tell someone, it's just as unfair to tell Brian that he can't shout and get excited as it is for me to tell you that you have to shout and get excited. Amen? That's some good stuff right there. I don't know if that's sinking in, but that's as good as a thing as I've ever said. Okay? It's just as unfair for me to tell someone that they can't fully encounter the Holy Spirit and embrace the moving of the Holy Spirit in their heart as it is for me to try to force you and tell you have to. So you're free to my goal is not what you do and how you do it, it's that you do it. Place of freedom and encouragement. Yet freedom only exists in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Here's what we got to do. Listen. Let me just talk to this church for a moment, okay? As your pastor, as your friend, let me just tell you this. Listen, I believe we're very, very, very good. We have gotten very good at making people feel comfortable encountering God wherever they are. I think we're excellent at that. I really do. I think we're excellent at leaving room for people from all sorts of different backgrounds to come and feel loved and feel welcomed and feel comfortable. And if you want to engage and get crazy, that's cool. If you're laid back, that's cool. I think we're really good at that. I really do. Okay? Can I say something? Where I think we probably need to get better at is pushing the envelope a little more personally and individually. Amen? Let's not use the guise of I'm making it comfortable for everyone, but really what I want to do is not make it uncomfortable for me. Let me just help myself here. Amen. That was good. Amen? I think we need to get a little better at that. I do. I'm talking to myself as much as I am you. Okay? We need to get a little better at that. We need to get a little better, I think, at looking up. Looking up. What do I mean? I mean this. Come here, Brian. The world, and one thing the enemy wants to do, is to get you so bogged down with circumstances of life that all you do is look down. And all you do is see the stuff and the garbage and the junk and the muck in front of you. And what needs to happen when we come together as the body of Christ and we come together with Christian believers, there needs to be a sense that we're looking up to God for something more that we don't have on this earth. Now, let's come down here so you don't get blinded in these lights. Let me come here so I don't feel so short. No, I'm just kidding. Look. You ever walked by a group of people? Brian, just kind of look up. Don't look up at a light. Don't buy yourself. You ever walked by somewhere and you see somebody looking at something? Maybe they're looking up in the sky or looking at something, and you start to look up and wonder what they're looking at? You ever done that? Right? That's what we want to be. Come here, Eric. Come here, Avery. Avery, get up here. Center. Come here, Avery. Cody, come up here. Val, come up here. Listen, you guys get over here. Listen. Here's what needs to happen. You guys all kind of stand in a group and look up. Look up. We're looking up to heaven, saying, God, we need you. Right? What happened? We're looking up to heaven, right? Saying, when we come together on a Sunday morning, we begin to worship. Listen. When we begin to worship, our focus should be on Him. God, we want to move of the Holy Spirit today. God, we need to encounter your love. Amen? And what needs to happen, listen, when somebody comes in that's looking at all their stuff around their lives that just is a mess, they need to come in and find a group of people looking up. Amen? And when they look up, now listen, here's the thing. When they look up, here's the deal. Listen, as people who are redeemed, as people who are followers of Jesus, listen, we have a responsibility as the redeemed to both look up to Christ, who is our answer and our source, and at the same time, look out to those who need to look up. Does that make sense? Doesn't that kind of look like the cross? Jesus pointing both up to God and out to humanity. Amen? We need to both look up and out. And so as we come together and we're beginning to worship, and we're singing songs, and we're at life group, we're looking up. We need God. It's not, we don't have the answer here in front of our face. We must look up to heaven and find it from Him. But what needs to happen when someone comes by us that's looking down, we need to be able to reach out to them and say, hey, look up. The answer is right here. God has something better for you. Just look up. Jesus has something greater for your life than what you have right now. Look up. Amen? And when somebody walks by and sees a group of people looking up, they say, hey, what are you guys looking at? We're able to point to Him and say, we're looking up. We're looking to Him. Jesus. Does that make sense? We've got to look up and look out. And I think that we're really good at, you guys can sit down, thank you. I think we're really good at looking out. I think we need to maybe work a little bit on looking up. Because listen. If all we're doing is looking out and inviting people and saying, come, but we don't have enough hunger for God to look up and say, when you come, we've got to point you to something greater than we have ourselves. Does that make sense? So we've got to look up and we've got to look out. And I think we need to look up probably a little more than we look out. Amen? Does that make sense? Freedom. That's freedom. Let me share with you about encouragement for just a moment. We're actually going to spend a whole week in 2 weeks, so I'm not going to take a whole lot of time on this because I think it's one of the big, powerful things, one of the biggest things that God has put on our hearts to do. If you've got a Bible, you can look at Exodus chapter 6, or if you're following along in your YouVersion events, it'll be right there for you. I can start doing that now. Exodus chapter 6, let me just give you a little background before I read this scripture. In Exodus chapter 6, the people of Israel have been enslaved to Egypt and Pharaoh for 430 years. God has spoken to Moses and says, Moses, you're going to go back to Pharaoh, you're going to go back to Egypt, and you're going to set my people free. You're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses gets this word from God, and of course there's an exchange between God and Moses at the burning bush. Moses finally submits, goes back to Egypt, finds the people, and the Bible says that before Moses went to Pharaoh, he went to the elders and the leaders and the people of Israel. Let me just read this for you in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. This is Moses talking, saying to him what God had told him. He said, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. Now listen, Moses is telling the Israelites what God has just said to him and what he's about to do. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Now, verse 9 should read that the people of Israel rejoiced and shouted and had a party, and they praised and they danced and they sang and they gave glory to God, and they got ready to do what God... That's what it should say. But look at what it says. Verse 9. It says, Moses reported to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. Life had so beaten them down that they could not even hear when God said, I'm about to set you free. And what was it that had beaten them down? Discouragement. They were discouraged. And their discouragement caused them to not be able to hear the word of the Lord. And this is what we've got to understand, church. This is what you need to understand for people that you're believing for to be saved, for family members that you know need Jesus, for coworkers that are mean and nasty and rude, and you're believing for God to do a miracle, and for everybody, listen to me close. There are many, many, many people, I will go as far to say as the vast majority of people, listen to me close, that before they are ready to receive the word of the Lord, they're going to have the discouragement of their life broken off of them. And the only way to do that, the only way to break discouragement off of someone is to encourage them. Amen? So if we understand that people are walking through these doors on Sunday morning, or they're walking into our homes on life group night, or they're walking, or we're encountering them at outreaches when we're giving away school supplies, or we're encountering them when we're giving them food, or doing whatever else we're doing, we've got to understand, listen, that person we're meeting may not be ready to hear the whole Romans Roads plan of salvation yet. Because they're so full of discouragement about their life. What they may need to hear first, before they're ready to hear Jesus loves you and has a plan for you and wants to save you, wow, glory to God. Before they get all that, they may need to hear this. Hey, I love you, man. Hey, you know what? You're going to make it. You're all right. You know what? You're a good dude. You know what? You're the man. You can do it. You got a great man. They may need to hear some things like, you know what? God's got a big future for your life. You know what I'm saying? They may need to hear, you know what, you're a good man, you're a good father, you're a good husband, man, you are doing the best you can, you're doing awesome. Because they've probably heard a million other people say, you're a piece of garbage, you're a piece of crap, you can't make it, you can't figure it out, you're just so worthless. Amen? And they've got to understand that though all those things have become a wall around them. And before they're ready to hear what God wants to do in their life, we've got to break through that wall and let you know, listen, man, you're valuable. You're not a piece of garbage. You're not worthless. You're valuable, man. I love you. You are the man. I will help you. I'm here. We got to be a place of encouragement. Amen? Place of encouragement. The redeemed life. They're not ready to receive the redeemed life because they got to have discouragement broken off of them. And so how do we do that? We got to be encouragers. Amen? That's why we want to make sure and do everything we can as we're looking up to look out and welcome people and love people and smile at people. And this is where we got to understand. This is where we've got to, I'm going to talk to the church for just a moment. This is where we got to be careful. We got to be careful, church, listen to me, that we don't get in the routine of just coming into the building on Sunday morning, hanging out with our friends, sitting in our seats, quote unquote, right? And I know we're creatures of habit. We like to sit in the same section that we normally sit. That's fine. You know what I mean? I like that Brian sits here on the front row every single week so I can pick on him and use him for illustrations. Every week. And he loves it. That's why he sits there. It's the best. It's the highlight of his week. He comes to me every morning like, Pastor Justin, will you please pull me in front of everyone today? No, he's getting this every time. Okay? It's cool. But listen, we got to be careful. Listen. Here's how we do it. We need to remember what it was like the first time we walked through the doors. How many hurdles did you have to go through in your mind before you set foot in a church on a Sunday morning, your first time, 2 or 3 years ago, or however long ago? What? Think about it. I mean, do you know how many things people have to go through, especially when they're coming their first time? What do I wear? I can't even tell you. That's the number one excuse I hear. I don't have anything to wear to church. That's why we say you can wear whatever you want. The preacher wears jeans. And you can tell them that. You say, listen, you don't have to dress up at church. The preacher wears jeans every Sunday. If he wears jeans, you can too. Or you know, I won't say less. We don't wear less, but different. You can wear less. What is less than jeans? No jeans. That's weird. Pants, we won't say required, encouraged. How about that? Right? We want to make it easy. I don't have anything to wear. You know what else they thought? They thought, what am I going to do with my kids? I've got four crazy screaming children. What do I do with them in church? My kids can't sit through church. That's why we have nursery available. That's why we thank God for the people that volunteer and give their time in the nursery. Amen. That's why nursery workers, you need to understand how valuable you are. And it makes, I know it's a sacrifice. I don't say this facetiously or to be smart. I know it's a sacrifice to miss your chance to get fed in worship and in the Word and be back there changing diapers and wiping snotty noses and giving snacks to kids that you don't know and don't care about. If all things were equal, right? But the reality is you're giving that service, amen, and it's valuable. Because what you're doing is allowing some mom or some dad to come in here and maybe for the first time ever in their life or for the first time in a long time receive a word of encouragement from the Lord. Amen? What do I do with my kids? What do I wear? Where do I park? Where do I go? Who will I talk to? Where will I sit? These are all questions we have to go through. Big question. Everybody there is going to judge me. Right? And so we've got to understand. And guess what? If you're honest, you had a lot of those same thoughts and questions before you came. And so what you need to remember is that the other people walking in that you're inviting to church, they're going to have those questions too. And we've got to create that encouraging atmosphere. So that when we see people that maybe we don't recognize, we need to be able to welcome them, smile at them. Amen? Well, I'm not on the greeter team. So what? Smile anyway. Amen? Well, I'm not a greeter. Say hello anyway. You don't have to be on the greeters team to say hello to somebody that you don't recognize in church. Amen? If it looks like somebody's struggling, wondering what to do with their kids, let them know where the nursery is. Amen? Make it easy. Let them know where the bathroom is. That's my wife's. Listen, we go anywhere. She's gotten better at this, but I mean, one of her main concerns anywhere we go is where's the restroom. She was pregnant at the time. Sure. Like we'd be going to the movie, and she'd be like, "You think they have a bathroom there?" I'm like, "Baby, it's a movie theater. Yeah, they got a bathroom there. Where's it? I don't know. I've never been there, but we'll find it. It's a big thing. Where's the bathrooms?" Right, amen. I know that seems simple and that may not seem very spiritual, but listen, here's where the spiritual and the simple connect. If I can make it easier for you to feel at ease about your kids or where you got to go to the restroom or where you got to change a dirty diaper or what you're going to wear or who you're going to sit next to or whether you're not going to be judged and welcome, if we can take all that away, it may just make it easier for you to receive the word of the Lord that God has for your life. And that word of God is this, that God has something better. Amen? God has something better. Stand me all over this place. So we want to be a place of freedom and encouragement. We want to be a place of freedom and encouragement. I know that this message is not very, I know this message is about who we are as a people. But how many know before we can do what God's called us to do, we got to understand who God's called us to be. Amen? And I believe we're about to go into a season. Listen to me close, guys. I believe we're about to see some great increase and some great ministry birth through this house as we go into the fall. I really believe that. We've had a great summer. Here we are, man. We had a couple of low Sundays. We got a great crowd for the summer crowd. We really do. Amen? And God's just going to continue to do that. And God, here's what you understand. There are people that every single week, I know this, there are people that you've talked to, that I've talked to, that have seen signs, that have been invited to this church. And that, listen, God moved my family and me here 4 years ago and brought all of you here together, all of us here together, for one reason only, to reach people for Jesus Christ, to bring in a harvest. Amen? I may assure you you've heard this before too, but listen, when we started this church, I was standing on the top of Brookville Dam, overlooking the town, and I was praying, God, do we move here? Is this really something you want me to do? Is this just me, or is this in my head? You can begin to play. Is this just me? Is this in my head? God, what is this? God spoke to me very clearly. Listen, I've shown this before. about how 15 years ago when I was a student in high school and I first got saved, I used to spend hours in my high school, I used to spend hours in this community, in this town, walking around praying for this city, praying for God to move, praying for God to do something. And I know that I wasn't the only one. I know there are people that God has planted in this community that have been praying for God to move, for the Spirit of God to break out for years and years and years and years and years. And I'm not a person that says God told me this and God told me that very often, but I'm telling you that day on the dam, God told me. All right? He said, I had you preparing, praying way back then for a harvest that I'm going to bring about now. That's what we're here for. Can I tell you something, Red Life? Listen to me. We have not even begun to see the harvest that God had in mind when He spoke that. Amen? This is awesome. And what God has done in just a few years, in just about 3.5 years, is amazing. This facility that God's blessed us with, the people that God's brought on board and brought here to be a part, man, it is awesome. It really is nothing short of a miracle. A miracle. Are there churches that have grown faster than this? Absolutely. But I'm telling you right now, how many people said this kind of church will never work in Brookville, Indiana, in a town like Brookville? I heard it all over the place. And God has done a miracle. Amen? But it's not over yet. And we haven't even really begun. This is what I believe. I believe the last 3 years have all been the groundwork for what God's about to do in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. Amen? And so we've got to be prepared for that. We've got to be ready for that. And we've got to be ready for that by understanding who God's called us to be. And that's a place of freedom and encouragement. Freedom and encouragement. Amen? And let me just tell you something. If you just do me the favor of bowing your head and closing your eyes just as a way to focus, as a way to kind of block out any distractions and to just let the Holy Spirit deal with you personally in this place this morning. I really feel like doing this a little differently. I'm not going to go through the whole altar call this morning and invite you. Listen, I just want to let you know that in just a moment, when we close service this morning, to my left, to your right, under the screen, by where the keyboard is, there will be an elder there to pray with you if you want to accept Jesus today. And if you're in this place this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are not walking with Him, you do not have a relationship with Him, I want you to understand something, that today, this moment, you can experience and you can know true freedom.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow Him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.